One. Booyah.
Yeah, you counted down, did it.
Booyah!
You know how to count. You're one of 10.
Yeah, I do. And I don't even have to use my fingers or my toes.
Nice. One of 10.
Boom. When you're home, we're in your head. Lock the doors and close the blinds. Turn on your TV. Turn off your mind. Hello, everybody.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Soul of a Gamer.
Yes.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven.
And every week we play a game, we tell you about it. And we hope you enjoyed our last week's game.
Yeah, that game.
Yeah, that game. You know it.
It wasn't Cassette Beast. It was the one after that.
Yes, it was the one. Yes, you're definitely right.
Oh, God, I'm going to draw a blank. Why am I drawing a blank?
I don't know, dude.
Ratchet and Clank.
Yes. Good job.
It rhymed with blank.
I don't know if you're looking at your Discord right now.
I wasn't.
Can you look at your Discord?
No, I have it on full screen for the videos.
Oh, so the Discord has the Ratchet and Clank box on the top. Oh. I'm just looking at it like,
No.
Oh, well, yes, we hope you enjoyed Ratchet and Clank. You know, that game was like middle of the road.
It's still fun.
It's a fun game. It's not something that's going to change your life, but it's still fun just to like waste some time playing it.
Yeah, it's a good middle of the road, just fun game. Like you're just going to enjoy it.
Yeah, but this week we're playing something kind of different. In the same adventure role, I guess you could say, but not very different gameplay style, but still an adventure action game.
Yeah,
we are playing Hi-Fi Rush. It's a beat game, so you follow a beat in it.
Yep, rhythm-based.
Yeah, rhythm-based action adventure, I would call it. So, let's just, before we start, sorry, some house cleaning. House cleaning.
Yes.
Housekeeping?
Housekeeping?
No, I think it is housekeeping. I think it's housekeeping because you're supposed to keep.
Housekeeping.
I think you're supposed to keep it up, right?
Yeah.
So some housekeeping, guys. Email us at soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com if you want to reach out or just let us know stuff. Check out the website soulofagamerpodcast.com, which has our game request line on it. If you wanted to request any game, you can. We will play it, but you have to get up there and request. We've already done one of the games in there. We've got a couple more we're going to get to eventually. So
As I mentioned last time, and I had to talk to Scott about it beforehand, but we did have one request on Spotify, which, if you don't know, at the end of every episode on Spotify, it gives you a little poll to ask what game you want us to play next as well, and you can put any request on there, and we actually had a request from someone on there to play Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
It's a game we both have not actually touched at all, surprisingly. So we are going to get to that. Give us a little bit of time. It is a 65, 70-hour first playthrough game, so we are going to do that in a few weeks. We just need a few weeks to actually play it all the way through.
For sure. We'll get that going as soon as we can. But for now, let's just jump right into this and get going.
Yeah.
What's on the box?
So this doesn't have a box, per se.
Yeah, I was going to say, it came out in 2023, so I think it's going to be boxless. It needs a home.
And it was a Game Pass drop day one. I think I've seen like covers of a Switch version of it, but I don't know if it's real or not. I couldn't tell, and I couldn't see a back of the box for it.
That's okay. Just the description is fine.
Yeah. Test your abilities in two new game modes. Uncover new rewards and even a few secrets in the arcade challenge. Update. Feel the beat as wannabe Rockstar Chai and his ragtag team fight against an evil megacorp in a world that sinks to the music.
Yeah, it sinks to the music.
Yeah.
I mean, that explained everything. Didn't give too much away, but didn't hide too much either. So, it's okay. An okay description. Not amazing. Not like bend will and time to your desire. It's nothing like that, but
right. And I always forget that Bethesda published this.
Yeah. Were they the game maker or just a publisher?
Developer was Tango Gameworks.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
It's going to say Bethesda. This isn't a Bethesda game, so.
Oh, and this is actually, people call it a, it's listed on Steam as what? As a rhythm action hack and slash.
Oh, okay. Well, I would call it an action adventure, but you do you.
A lot of these style of games with this kind of combat system are hack and slashes. It's just another action adventure subgenre kind of thing.
Yeah, it's where you oh, I guess that would make sense because you stop to fight. You don't actually fight within the realms of the map.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, that was okay. Let's move on.
All right.
Are we damn it?
All right, so tell us about the sound and audio.
So we got a lot of actors in this. So the audio to start out, guys, is amazing. It's really fun. Yes. There's a lot of original songs in there that they wrote. There's a lot of
some big
Black Keys I saw in there at one time. Like
Nine Inch Nails, Prodigy.
Which didn't sound like Nine Inch Nails. It sounded like a cover. So I think it was a cover of Nine Inch Nails.
Well, it was actually Nine Inch Nails, but I think it was like just a different style. It
could
of song
be.
Ever
I
done.
Just thought that they maybe took the songs and covered them to make them more acceptable for
the
game.
They added to them, so they added extra instruments and stuff to it to make it fit in the world. But they are the actual songs.
All right. So cast, we got Robbie Damon as Chise, Sunil Malhotra as Cinnamon, Erica Lindbeck as Peppermint, Gabe Junda as Macaron, Sarah Elmaleh as Corsica, Kamala Arfwetson as Mimosa, Misty Lee as Rekka, Ranuma Panthaki as Roxanne Vanderlei, Roger Craig Smith as Kale Vanderlei, David Fain as Roquefort. They said it weird. They said it weird in the fucking game.
I know.
And then composers, we got Shuichi Kabori, Ryo Uratani, and Masatoshi Yanaki.
All right.
But yeah, I didn't know any of these people. I figured they're probably kind of famous, or at least like they've done one other thing before.
I didn't recognize any of the names scrolling through this. Didn't recognize any of the faces either.
Yeah.
It seems to be a very kind of unknown crowd, or at least little known crowd. They've all been in several things before, but they've been a lot of background actors and stuff and a lot of things. Like Peppermint's, she was like a voice actor in Helldivers, but she was just like a random Helldiver. She was in a couple other things, like,
well, yeah, because
Morty,
all the Helldivers
voices
in Helldiver, there's no name, so
yeah. So I mean, I love the dialogue of this game a lot in a lot of places. It's funny, it's quirky, it's charming in its own ways, and the music is so much fun.
Yeah, a lot of they did do a really good job with dialogue. Like everyone in here, there's not one point where I'm like, did they pull a person off the street and throw them in the fucking booth? What the hell are they doing?
Yeah, seriously.
Like everyone actually did have good dialogue. A lot of it was sarcastic, which was a little annoying. There's not a lot of serious notes in this game where they actually like break down and start talking as if like there is a problem.
One of the few moments is like when you find out about Peppermint's family. That's like one of the few like somber,
ish
moments.
Barely, right? It's like kind of ish there, but not really. Like they just made it so the characters, like, it's almost like an anime. It's like every character is emotionless and has just the attitude that they always have, and that's the only way they see the world. Especially Chai. Chai is basically Goku, guys.
I was going to say, the anime being emotionless didn't resonate with me when you said that, but when you said Goku, I was like, oh, yep.
Yeah, so like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not emotionless, but each character fits into a role, and that's all they know how to do.
Yeah, so no, it's definitely very just like, I don't know, it's very just upbeat. Like, that's just the best way to say it. Like, the combat's upbeat, the dialogue's upbeat, the everything. It's just a very, like, happy-go-lucky kind of thing. Like, you're not going to get sad playing this, even with anything that's deemed sad-worthy or whatever.
Yeah, they don't do a lot of, like, there's not a lot of, like, heartfelt moments in the game. But there are a lot of, like, friendship moments, which was awkward.
Yeah. Some of it was awkward,
it
was really fun.
Sometimes it was, like... Like, who are you? You've known me for 4 hours. Go fuck yourself. We're not friends.
But your pants are kind of cool.
Yeah, your pants are cool, and your clothes are kind of sweet. They're like Rocky. Like rock, rock punkish.
I just love that. Like, that was the one thing he took away from Cinnamon.
Yep.
That he said his pants were fun or cooler.
I did like the clothes in general in the game, too. They were,
yes.
They just showcase, like, 80s rock pretty much to me.
Well, and I don't know.
Or 80s punk rock, I guess.
I love the alternate costumes that you can make people dress as each other. So yeah. Chai could be dressed as Cat 8. Peppermint could be dressed as Corsica, and then Macaron could be dressed as Cinnamon. Wow, I cannot speak. And then vice versa for all those. And I did the alternate costumes throughout the entire game. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. Yeah, that's the voice actors. Like I said, very good music, very good. Like I don't want to say we're underselling the music, but we are a little bit. That it's good. It's not amazing. There's not anything in here that really like more of, because the entire game is rhythm based, you kind of miss out on really appreciating the music, because it's
in
constantly,
some aspects,
yeah, it's constantly in the background, you know.
Yeah, I will say it's one of those things in like music in the game that you're going to really enjoy it while you're playing it, but it does kind of like dull out over time. And like you do love those like different song switches and stuff when it hits to a different song, but it's just one of those things, like, I'm never gonna seek out listening to the soundtrack, but it's a really good soundtrack in the game.
Definitely not seek out listening to it whatsoever. All right, well, I think that's all I got for audio.
Fair enough. Let's go to the next one then.
Do it.
How does it play?
All right, how does it play?
So this game, like we said, action adventure, kind of hack and slash, whatever the fuck you want to call it, it's all the same shit. This game plays interestingly. It's a rhythm based game, so basically you have a 4-count beat, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. And normally in rhythm based games, in my experience, they don't let you even do anything off beat. But in this game, they do. But if you're on beat, it's better. You do more damage. Yes. You jump higher. You sprint, or not sprint. You dodge better. You basically, everything on beat is better to do.
Yeah, you'll hit your attacks heavier and stuff like that. But I do like that it doesn't necessarily punish you for missing beats.
Yeah,
like Scott was saying, a lot of other rhythm-based games, and I've tried a lot of rhythm-based games. I love Bullets Per Minute. I've played the Hellsinger one. I've played a couple other ones. But like every one of them, I end up giving up because of how strict they are with their rhythms. And this one, I actually could play all the way through. Like, if you're gonna try a rhythm based game for the first time, this is the one to try.
Yeah, they did a really good job with the rhythm part of this. They even included like a helpful little rhythm thing,
metronome.
They show you it going, that you know when the beats drop, so it's really nice. If you don't want to like focus on the sound, you can just do that and focus on the sight. Well,
even everything in the background. So
everything
like
follows.
The vents and stuff follows. The lights flicker.
If
like
you look
everything
at
everything, follows
his,
the beat.
His footsteps his also foot follow. Yep.
Yeah.
Just him walking. It's always on beat.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting.
It's crazy how insanely synchronized everything is.
Yeah. All your attacks are technically like they'll happen on the beat, but if you start them on the beat, that's how it works.
Yep.
So they did synchronize everything to the beat. It's just that whether you get it on beat or not is kind of up to you. Other gameplay aspects in here. This is like, again, a pseudo RPG. You get some like unlocking combos and shit, like any kind of fighter game. You can unlock special moves. You can unlock. You have like a way to summon people to help you. So people in your party, which would be Macaron, Peppermint, and Corsica. So you can summon all three of them just to kind of help you out with special moves, and you can change those moves based on what you're doing. You do like a dodge counter and they'll do something, or a regular counter and they'll do something different. And it's super interesting how they actually built the everything in this game. I will say jumping in this game is fucking obnoxious. It's more of a high jump, less of a forward jump.
Yeah, so, I will give you that. Yeah,
it got really annoying.
It
got really annoying trying to make jumps sometimes when you're like, okay, this should be like every other game and should just be forward, and instead I'm just jumping straight up.
Yeah, a lot of times it's better to double jump and then dash.
Yeah, which is
like the dash is going to be your main force of actual
traversal. Yeah, which it may sure it was just like I think Jak and Daxter did that too, where the jumping sucked. It's less of a forward, more of an up. But
yeah.
Every time that happens, I'm like, guys, come on, just fucking make it a forward jump. Who the fuck is jumping like this high at one stance? Jumping forward makes sense because you got a running start and you're jumping.
If you can jump that high, then you can jump way further.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's stupid. You attack things in this with a guitar. You've got like this made up piece of shit guitar thing. It's like made of screws and shit.
Yeah, it's just like a, you got a pole that's magnet and it pulls all these like gears and random pieces of scrap and metal and stuff to form like a guitar.
A flying V.
Yeah.
But in general, there's nothing, there's no cheats or anything you can find that make the game kind of cool or anything like that. Some of the combos are pretty cool. It was cool like shifting through them and actually trying different ones. I really enjoyed that.
Did you have, like, a favorite combo and a favorite special move?
Well, I really like the... I don't know what they're called. So, the it's Y... No, it's X, Y, X, X.
Okay.
And that one was fun. It's, like, it's an aerial combo. It blows them up in the air. And then there was the general combo, the four X's, was fun to do because it made those two tornadoes.
I liked the... I think it was Y, X, X, X. And it was a... heavy attack, and then it did the attack where it like shot a can in an air forward at them.
Yeah,
I really like that one, and I really like the one with the aerial combo. I think it was like X Y X X X.
I mean, whatever they like were, but in general, the combos were good. Like they were.
Yeah, I
like really
all the
good.
Hyper beam kind of moves. Those were kind of fun.
Yeah,
my favorite.
You could mix your combos with your people too, which was cool.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, overkills is what they called it.
Yep, and then I really liked my favorite special move was probably, I think it was called like, I don't even remember, it was like Primal Flesh or something like that, but it was just like two like giant like claws that came out and like ripped things to shreds, and I was like, that like one shot most everything in the game. I was like, yes.
So one of the most annoying parts of this game, I don't know if you ended up doing this, but there's these doors. So post game, you can go in and start looking for these doors to unlock the secret ending.
Yeah.
And they're really annoying. They're just challenges. And each challenge is just really fucking stupid. Like, for the easiest challenge in this was take no damage. That's how dumb the challenges are. So the challenges were like, only kill enemies using a parry. And you had to use like a parry and then a special move by your guys that only happen on a parry. And then same thing, you had to do a dodge counter. It's the same as a parry, only you're dodging, and you have to use that special move again. And the timing can get really fucky. And
that's stupid.
Yeah, it's really dumb. And then there was a couple of them that were easy. One of them was like, just be in the air and don't touch the ground. Every time you touch the ground, you lose a second.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you only have a limited amount of time, and the clock only goes while you're on the ground.
Interesting.
Yeah, so stuff like that, I mean... To get the secret ending, I wouldn't block it by challenges. I would just, you know, either make the challenges easier or just maybe not put so many. Because once you do all six challenges, it makes you, or sorry, eight challenges, it makes you do eight fucking more.
Oh, Jesus.
The same challenges, only doubly hard.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, okay, this is just fucking, it was so dumb. It was just, it's a dumb way to get the last part of the game. Yeah.
Is it worth it?
No, I don't think it is.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't really set up anything. It might set up a sequel. I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
Well,
we can talk about that more in story, but just know that these challenges are fucking dumb, and this was a dumb idea by them.
I didn't do any of the post-game stuff.
Yeah. The most of the post-game stuff is just like, challenge yourself, challenge yourself, challenge yourself. That's really all it was.
We didn't bring up the grappling hook. I did like the grappling hook, especially in combat.
Yeah, they have different mechanisms outside combat, like the grappling hook that you can grapple onto things, and then in combat, you can grapple onto enemies and pull yourself close to them quickly.
I didn't care for using your group, all like all your different allies and friends, out of combat. Like, I kind of hated all the out of combat uses.
I wouldn't have minded it if I didn't have to do extra work on top of it. If you just push a button and they do what they're supposed to do, great. Because you have to, like, well, you push the button and then you time what you have to do here. Like, that was kind of annoying. I don't know why they did it that way. Feel like they could have just taken that out and the game would have still been fine.
Well, especially because, like, in combat when you use them, you literally just hit a button and they do an attack.
Yeah.
Or you hold the button and they do a bigger attack. Like, there's nothing more to that. But when you, like, use them to break down a wall, like for Macaron, he comes out, he gets into a position, he does this animation, and then there's like this pulsing meter, and you have to let go of the button at the exact time.
Yeah. Or it's just on the beat.
He leaves. Yeah.
It's all on the beat stuff, but it's super annoying. It gets tedious with how much you have to do it, especially like the, and it's laggy too. I had a point where I couldn't get them to stay. No matter who I summoned, they would summon and then leave right away.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, I don't know why that happened. I was trying to figure it out, and then eventually just stopped, and I was like, okay, we should be fine. Because to do those last parts of the missions, which this is really dumb too.
Yeah.
They don't let you just go back to the mission area where you found the door. You have to go through the entire mission to find the door again, which I thought was really fucking dumb.
That's why I didn't want to do it, because I was like, I don't want to redo this entire mission again.
And sometimes like, the door is early.
Basically making me to play the entire game again.
Yeah, but sometimes the door is early. It's where you'd think it would be. It's like, stuff like that. But then sometimes it's like near the end of the level, and you're like, what the fuck, guy? Seriously? Yeah. Now, to be fair, it doesn't take long because you're not exploring because you already did the level. But, I mean, it's just still, it's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, they could have done that better. For the most part, again, guys, it's good. It's fun. Combat's done a little bit weird. They make you stop. You don't get to proceed unless you finish combat.
Yeah.
Like, they build you an arena kind of deal, and then that arena you fight.
Yeah, which was kind of weird, and I hated how slow some of the animations were. Like, you'd be done with the fight, and then you'd have to wait for the walls to come down.
Yeah.
And, like, it would give you, like, this and then that, and then someone would say something, and then it'd finally, like, crack down, but you'd just be sitting at the wall, like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.
There's
like,
no real.
Go.
There's cutscenes in this game, and they're really good. Like, the animation in this game is fucking on point.
The transitions from gameplay to cutscenes and back are phenomenal, especially like some of the times where like you hit a boss or something and then it cuts to the animation like as they're flying, and I'm like, that's so cool.
Yeah, the only problem with it is that generally those cutscenes, like, what you want to do is almost make you immobile while you're waiting for stuff to happen to keep players interested. So when there's a locked door and you're walking around and you can't unlock the door until your dialogue ends, well, you should have just made that a cutscene.
I do hate the moments where you're talking about where you can't do anything because someone's talking.
Yeah.
Like, that's so dumb that you can't just pick up an item or open a chest or whatever and tell they're done talking.
Yeah, it just kind of got old. And like I said, just make those cutscenes. Like, if it's that important, make them cutscenes. And the ones that don't have impeding progress, the ones that don't have a locked door until it's over, just keep that one as the regular talking.
There's absolutely no reason you need to make those two sentence dialogue things an entire cutscene. I know it'd be quick, but like, just let me open the chest.
What I mean,
while
Steven,
they're talking,
is like that's one thing to let you do like outside actions while they're talking, but another thing is like literally they'd be talking and a door doesn't unlock until it's done, and it could take as upwards as 20 seconds.
No,
and,
I know.
And you're like that point, I want a cutscene. Those are the points I'm talking about. Like, I'd rather have a cutscene than be walking like mindlessly nowhere, waiting for you to shut the fuck up.
Even that with like the door things that you're talking about, just let me open up the door, because it's just 10 seconds of walking after you open the door.
Well,
anyways.
Sometimes they were like leading up to it, like, hold on, I gotta hack this door for a second. Okay, door's open, and then 10 seconds after that, it would open. Like,
I mean, fair.
Like stuff like that could just be a cutscene. You don't need that fucking as me walking around aimlessly. You just put in a fucking cutscene.
Fair.
Stuff like that. But the animation, guys, seriously, animation was beautiful in this game. Like, they did a really good job there. Not a lot of glitches, just that one that I was talking about. For the most part, gameplay was really good. Just a couple things that would be nice to have. You know, the jumping, the talking, maybe either less lessened or allowing, like, grabbing and stuff as your like environment interaction while those are going on.
The other thing I'll say too, this is like a lot of other hack and slash games. It's got a grading system of S through F or whatever.
Yeah, and it's probably D.
Maybe.
It's probably D.
I never got less than a D. I got a D, I think, a couple of times.
I never got less than a B.
I never got a D on, like, the full thing. Like, I had one category that I got a D. I realized really quickly that you can, as long as you get S in at least two categories, you can get an A, even if you get a D in timing. I would either get, like, between a D, a C, or a B on timing every time. Never got an A or S on timing. But my speed and my score was always S, so I always got an A. Yeah. For the most part.
Yeah, so it's a score-based game, so you have to do a lot of shit with the fucking scores. And like, you don't have to even... Well, you could probably just get D's across the board and be fine. Oh, yeah. I don't think it moves your character. It's really hard to do that. You'd have to try. But in general, like, the score is just for your own personal glory. Kind of.
There's no deaths in this game.
Yeah.
There's no, like, failing this game. Yeah. Like, literally, you can go through, and no matter how bad you are, put it at the easiest difficulty... There's all these extra things they give you to even make it easier to keep rhythm, like adding the metronome and other things that you can do too.
Yeah.
And it makes your window for missing insanely huge. And literally, like, it doesn't matter how good you are at video games. You can play through to the end of this one.
Yeah. And the one of the most annoying things about this game, I think the most annoying to me at least, forced parries.
That was annoying.
I don't like forced parries. I think, like, there's a place and a time for parries. Like, sure, you can do it if you want to, or you could just fucking rush them if you want to. But doing forced parries, super fucking annoying, and it happens almost all the time in this game.
Yes.
And they treated the forced parries as quick time events, basically. It's super fucking annoying.
I have said this forever with a lot of games, especially, like, games in, like, the Souls series. Like, a lot of the games that allow you to parry... and allow that mechanic, cool, that's awesome if you are talented enough or you want to take the time to learn a parry mechanic, but do not force that on me ever. I hate that style of gameplay. I will never be that style of gamer. I am a hack and slasher through and through. I want to run through, just killing shit as fast and as horribly as possible.
Yeah.
I do not want to take my time. I do not want to risk getting hit. I do not.
Yeah, it's... like. It's super annoying, too, because a lot of the times it's a make or break in a situation. Like, yeah. And a lot of the enemies, you can't, like, you can kill them before they do their little force parry thing, but it's really difficult sometimes.
It's so difficult.
Like it gets super annoying how much force parrying you have to do.
Well,
in this
and there's
game.
Some enemies you can't defeat at all unless you parry them. Yeah. Like the little, like, robot drone things.
Yeah, it's super annoying. I don't care for that gameplay either. I just wish they wouldn't have put it in here.
I don't mind it being in there. I don't mind it giving you the option, but do not force me to do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Don't put the force parries in.
Oh, I thought you were saying just don't have parries in there at
all.
No.
Force parries. I don't like force
fair,
parries.
Fair. All
right. Well, that's it for gameplay for me now.
I think that's it for me, too.
All right. Let's get on to the next one.
All right. It's time for reviews. All right. So now it's the time of the episode where we read some of your reviews for the games and see if you are little bitch boys like us or if you are valid in your reasons or excuses for hating or loving the game.
Or we punch you in the dick.
We might punch some people in the dick. I will say this game was overwhelmingly positive. There's almost 24,000 reviews on Steam and only 600 negative.
Nice.
So... didn't find a lot of negative things in this game, but I will go ahead and start with one of the ones that I thought was pretty funny. Guitar Hero make Ryanetta Jet Sunset Overdrive.
Hey, what did it say?
Guitar Hero make Ryanetta Jet Sunset Overdrive.
Ryanetta,
so they're saying it's Guitar Hero, Devil May Cry, Bayonetta, Jet Set Radio Future, and Sunset Overdrive, all connected, all in one game.
If they say so, I would disagree with that, but yeah, all right.
I agree with that. I mean, the hack and slash of Devil May Cry and Bayonetta, you got the rhythm of Guitar Hero and using a guitar, and it's very stylized art-wise, like Jet Set Radio Future and Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. Maybe a little bit, but, you know, Bayonetta and Devil May Cry are way more hardcore with that.
Well, I know, but they're hack and slashes, yeah. So that's the comparison there. A lot of people brought up that this game was announced only hours before it was dropped.
Really?
This game did not have any release stuff at all until day of.
Fuck you, Bethesda. Seriously, that is your fucking job.
But everyone loves that, honestly, and I really appreciate that, because I am so tired of hearing about a game that's going to come out in 5 years. Do not give me any information about a game that's not coming out in the next year.
Yeah,
or
but
six
the nice
months.
Part about that is then everybody knows when to expect it.
I don't care. But... I really don't care. Like, I don't want to know that there's going to be Halo 7
again,
in 2028. Like, that's
again,
so dumb.
Like, what you're talking about is from your perspective, but remember, a game studio is making this, and that a game could make or break an entire studio.
Yes, but we've also seen game studios like Bethesda dropping a game day one and being super successful.
Well, no, but they didn't make the game. I'm not talking about the publisher. Publisher, all they do is release the fucking game. And now it's easy because they're not making physical copies. They're just doing, like, digital downloads. So they just have to host a server to do the digital download. But, like, the game company who actually made this game, Bethesda, if they're going to do it like that, they have to pay. I'm guessing they have to pay the fucking company, right?
Well, there's not a reason in the world you could give me to tell me that there's a reason that we need to hear about a game that far in advance.
Well, like I said, it's just marketing. It's just so they get the game hyped so they make their money back.
That's stupid though too, because I don't feel like there's as much hype if it's 5 years in the future. Like, I feel like there's a lot more hype if it's like this is coming out in 6 months.
The fact that it keeps happening tells me that it's working for them in a way. It's making them money. So
I mean, it makes people money, but I don't.
Yeah,
think
so that's why they're doing it. They're just trying to make sure they have money for it. I agree. I like the idea of just not doing it. The only thing I hope that Bethesda did by not marketing it was make sure they pay like a flat rate to the game studio, so they're not losing money on the deal.
I hope
they did, because that'd be bullshit.
I didn't hear anything about anybody getting screwed over, and we definitely would have in today's
age. It's hard to know because NDAs now are getting fucking ridiculous with these game studios. They are fucking over game studios hardcore, dude.
Hey, if you sign a contract and you sign an NDA, it's on you.
Well, that's you don't have a choice. NDAs are the industry standard now.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that's on you then. Like, you can't complain about
it. Well, no, you can, because it's either you sign the NDA or you don't get to make your game. Like, and that's not fair either. I don't know. I don't like that aspect.
I'm saying you can't make a deal of selling your game and make an NDA.
Like, no. So
like
the NDA
those are going
to
be coincided.
The NDA is specifically for the people who are making it, not for the sellers. And the publishers are not signing an NDA.
I know what you're talking about. I'm just saying I don't agree with it.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, I think it's bullshit. People have to sign an NDA, but. In the general,
I agree
only
with NDAs
hope...
with how much information gets thrown out in the world, and it like spoilers are a big thing that a lot of people complain about in everyday life. And
I know,
I don't need to know it.
They're big babies about it. I know the ending of this movie. Oh God, my whole life is ruined. Like, well, what are you talking about? And they just watch the movie. You're still gonna enjoy it. Shut the fuck up about it.
Like, you shouldn't tell any of your friends or family or anything if you are a voice actor or anything on a game. If you sign an NDA, shut your mouth.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, you're right. However, I don't like how it's industry standard. If they're doing it to protect the story, sure. But they're not doing... I'm not talking about NDAs to protect story, Steve. I'm talking about NDAs to protect financial... where the finances are going. So they're not allowed to say, like,
okay,
we got paid
shit
for
this. You don't know that's an actual thing.
Yeah,
you're
no,
just
it is.
Assuming
that,
it
no,
probably
that
is
a thing. They've already, because that's industry standard. Because
okay,
the publisher.
But you're still making an agreement of those finances. So if you don't like the finances, don't make that agreement.
Yeah.
That's
again,
what I'm saying. Like, I don't
just,
care
I'm
if there's
saying
NDA
there's
or not.
No choice. Like, you don't get a choice whether you like
you
it or not.
You do get a choice
you can
on
either,
whether you're going to sell
you can
for
either,
a certain amount.
You can either do it or you don't get your game released. That's the thing. That's the difference. Like, it's not like you can do it or not, but
yes, but that's my point though too. Okay, like I'm saying I don't care whether you have an NDA or not. If you say I agree to sell this for $1 million, whether you wanted to sell it for $8 million or $200,000, if you agreed to sell for that price, that you laid
Steven,
in your
I think
own
you're
bed.
You're missing
that you,
my point here. You're like probably. Making up a point in your head, I think, at this point. I'm saying that it's not like they want to sell it for more or less. They don't get the choice to make the fucking game if they don't sign the NDA, because no other company is going to have that option either. Like, and I think that's a little unfair. That's why I like the crowdsourcing now. I like the players paying for the making of the game and paying for the game, because then you're getting a game you want by the standards you want it on and not on a timeline or a bullshit financial scrutiny that the publishers have, because a lot of them are bullshit. They don't pay enough, and like I said, the game companies, almost 90% of them end up going defunct now.
Okay, well, and I understand the gaming industry and like just all businesses in general nowadays are all shitty in their practices. That beside the point, like
I think we should do more crowdfunding. I think that'd be cool.
Well, and that is a big thing that's been happening more and more, and I love when things happen that way, and that's awesome. But to the same extent, like if a big company says, "Hey, we're going to give you $100 million and pay for everything to make your dream come true,"
as long as they're being
fair,
I'm cool with it. Like that's all it is.
But
I just
like,
want them
even
to be
that
fair.
Is still going to be an agreement that you make at the very beginning.
Yeah. I don't,
and that's
I don't
what
know
I'm
why,
saying. Like,
yeah, I understand like, what you're saying. You're just missing the point. Like I said, like, yes, you're right.
You're
as long as they're
like
being fair,
all,
I am cool with it.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times they're not fair, and they don't
well,
have
yeah,
a choice.
I hate everything that's not fair.
Yeah.
Like that's not.
What was
that's...
the game? Remember Obsidian? Didn't they crowdsource a game and it went really well? It was Castle something? I can't remember what it was, but they went really well, and then everyone got the game they wanted, and that's like. That's the cool thing about crowdsourcing is you always get the game you want on the timelines you want. I think more companies should do that. Like, yes, it's shitty for us because then we're paying twice kind of deal, but at least we're getting what we want out of it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I love Kickstarter and stuff for those kind of reasons.
Yeah.
And GoFundMes and stuff. Like, as much as it is kind of weird, like, but I really like supporting people and their dreams for
and
those
their
things.
Dreams
like,
and aspects and...
Yeah, and if you've got a really amazing dream that I can't wait to see, then I'm going to support you. I'm going to give you my money, and then I'm going to buy it when it comes out. Or if I get a copy for
you,
you
should
get
a copy
awesome.
From Kickstarter or whatever.
Did well, yeah, Kickstarter you do.
Speaking
but...
of which, before we continue with reviews, sorry, I know we're in the review section. Okay. Remember when they had that Avatar game? Did that ever come out?
Yeah, the
Kickstarter for it. Remember that?
Oh, wait.
The, remember, it was like a D&D style.
Are you talking about Avatar The Last Airbender?
Yeah. Remember the D&D one?
Yes, it did. It did come out.
Okay, because
I
never
actually.
Saw anything on it after like everyone was talking about it and everyone's giving them money.
Jen and I actually, we bought the highest tier of that.
Yeah.
So we have everything.
Oh, nice. You got all the cool stuff. Is it cool?
We've got all the, we got all the dice. We got all the books. We got all the run-throughs. We got all the sheets. I haven't looked through it all, but it is a really cool. And it kind of sucks because we moved to Ohio right at the time we got it. Like literally
it
got
takes
it
years
the
to fucking
month.
Get it.
Yeah, we got it the month we were leaving, I think.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, shit. Now we have no one to play this.
Sucks. You can find someone out there.
Yeah, I'll find someone eventually.
We,
but
we
it's
should
also
start
just...
a stream of it and just start streaming it on a channel for
I'm
all
down.
Our viewers.
I'm down because that honestly, I
send us an
I
email,
really
guys.
Am curious about what it is like, how it plays and stuff compared to D&D.
Yeah, send us an email. Ask, let us know if you want us to play Avatar: The Last Airbender D&D, and we'll stream it for you.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's keep going with reviews. so everyone was basically saying that it's like 6 hours away, and then they're like there.
So everyone's like this comment right here. Where were you when Microsoft silently dropped the game of the year of 2023?
I wouldn't call it game of the year. It's good though. It's good.
It was nominated for game of the year at
I'm
a couple
surprised.
Different game awards, including
I think the visuals really made it.
Yeah,
those visuals like
visuals
really,
were the visuals and audio
so eye catching.
They actually won for a couple different categories for visual and audio.
Okay,
stuff.
I'm not surprised with visuals because those visuals were fucking outstanding.
The visuals are
they
killed
the
best part.
Yeah,
it's so
like,
good.
That's what I wanted Borderlands to look like.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly,
it still looks
yeah.
okay with the way it does. It just that's what I wanted it to look like. Right.
Yeah.
There.
This one, the same thing. Releases the same day it was announced. Hypes you up after its release. Actually fun, original, and satisfying. Has a kick-ass beat. Has you kicking ass to the beat. High quality game and only asked for $30 in 2023. What?
It was only $30. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it
especially
was only $30, and
game.
It was on Game Pass too. So it was day one release on Game Pass as well. So yeah, I was like, what?
God, I'm still wondering what is the benefit to being on Game Pass. Like they have to pay them, right?
They do pay them. Yeah.
Or maybe it's just like, well, it's on Game Pass, so then when it gets removed and people want to play it, they'll just buy it. Maybe that's the...
That's also true.
Yeah.
There's a ton of big numbers for it, but they do pay for having the game on there, and I think they do pay it for like popularity. Also, because Game Pass gives extra deals for buying the game, and like you get 10% off.
Yeah.
And off all DLC and the game. So a lot of times it just gets people... It's kind of like a trial thing. You get to try the game, and then a lot of times, like, I even do that. Like, I've bought a ton of the games I've played on Game Pass.
Yeah, because why not? Because you like the game so much. I mean, you want to support the studio.
Exactly.
Or I guess the publishers, because I think they take all the money.
Step one, announce your game a few hours before it releases. Step two, have it be one of the most kick-ass games released in a while. Step three, profit.
Oh, my God. You knew step three was going to end in profit. God damn you, kind Cards Against Humanity.
Here's a negative one. Kind of a kid's game. You don't die. You just teleport back 5 feet. Extremely linear. Customization minimal. I respect it for what it is, but I'm posting it as negative so people can get the real soup and not just highfalutin day one hype train nonsense.
Okay, I guess, but were they... I guess when you look at the game, when we read that thing, at any point did they say it was a non-linear, extremely experimental with insane... Like, did they mention all of those things that he's complaining about?
No.
Then I don't know what the fuck he's complaining about.
Like, that is one of the things, like, if there are linear games and there's non-linear games. And I hate when people play a non-linear game and then, like, oh my god, this game is not... this game's linear.
Like, this is... I think most games you would classify as linear. Like, the difference is just, like, how you go about it. Because in the end, it's still... You have a linear storyline. You're still going through a story in order most of the time.
Well, that's not what linear is. Linear is literally you have
a straight shot going through the end of the game. But, like, in the less serious notion of that word, like, every game is technically fucking linear. I don't... Like, what does this guy want?
Open world's not.
Yeah, what does this guy want for them to, like... be able to go to the final boss right away?
He's probably,
like,
one of the people who wants every game to be open world.
He's
one of those assholes.
He wants to be level 1 cheesing the level 90 boss.
Yes.
Yeah, that fucking horseshit. Get out of here.
Yeah. let's see. Another negative one. Hi-Fi Rush may be an appealing animation and art style, but it's designed with a PlayStation 2 era mindset. It is entertaining for a short while, but the gameplay is too generic, flat, and boring, and is combined with cliche and mediocre storytelling. Even though the game provides some moves for you to use, there's no varied scenarios that allow you to use those combos or change your playstyle. You fight the same enemies all the time. You can't see what you're doing because of the effects, and everything blends into each other. No need to overhype this shadow drop like this. Is the only mid-action rhythm-based game out there. Unfortunately, Hi-Fi Rush is a repetitive drag.
Dude, I hate the term mid.
I hate the term mid.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if he said this is a middle of the ground, I would have been like, okay. But he said, this is fucking mid, bro.
Mid just sounds so much more negative than middle of the road.
Yeah,
like, this
really
is a very
does.
Average game. This is very, like, you're not going to love it. You're not going to hate it.
Like, mid is the new bad, basically.
Yeah.
And that's all
mid
is
shit.
Yeah. you can't win with mid. Like, get out of here.
No.
I mean, I agree. If he didn't like the game, that's fine. He did put up some good reasons that he didn't like the game. It's not like he's saying it's a fucking linear game when he wanted it to be non-linear.
Yeah.
But, you know, he doesn't have to be an asshole and go, it's fucking mid, bro. You don't have to do that.
Pairing kind of killed this game for me. Just impossible.
That's not impossible, but I will agree. Pairing sucked in this game.
Pairing did kill some of the vibe for me, not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm disliking because of Peppermint. Annoying, smarter than you, strong woman. So cringe, so pathetic. You're so cringe.
Pathetic. When you say, like, annoying, strong woman, and then say the word cringe.
And he spelled woman, W-H-A-M-E-N. Like, woman.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm confused when you say that and then you use the word cringe.
Yeah.
I don't know how old you are.
I don't either.
Because at first I think you're 50, 50? and then you cringe.
and then you go
18. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Pick a decade and live by it, guy. Come on.
And you can not like an entire game because of one character?
Yeah, I mean, Peppermint was annoying, but there was this, like, pseudo-sexual tension between you and her at all times. But I think in the end she ends up being maybe lesbian?
She's probably... Everyone's bi now.
Yeah. Well, and the only reason I say that is because at the end of the game, remember when Corsica gets into the truck and she blushes?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I mean, why is she blushing?
That's my next review. Just Corsica.
Yeah, I like Corsica. I like Irish accents a lot, so.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, it's a video game in 2023, like a regular video game. That's just fun to play with no strings attached. I really thought indies were the only ones still doing that. I'll be damned.
Okay.
The game experiments with some groundbreaking and unproven concepts, such as making fun gameplay, an actual ending, and it also finishes on release. Truly the work of some pioneering mad bastards.
I'll agree with that. Not a lot of games finish on release anymore. A lot of games do, but yes. You know they don't. Like, there's always the DLC associated past the ending.
Well, I don't care if there's DLC. That's not what he's saying with that. What he's saying with that is the game wasn't a bugged piece of shit as soon as it dropped. This game didn't have like the problems that every other game is having nowadays. Where it's like I don't know if you heard about like what happened with Kill the Justice League or Suicide Squad. Kill the Justice League.
I know that it was kind of a mess coming out.
When they logged into the game, pressed play. It was automatically starting them on the last mission with fully upgraded gear, fully upgraded team, everything. And they could not restart the game in any way, shape, or form until a patch came out that let people start the game from the beginning of the game.
That's good. That's good.
That is some bullshit.
That is some bullshit. Helldivers did that, right?
Helldivers had a great game day one, I think.
No, remember, they fucked up their servers. They were too small.
Weren't expecting how popular it was going to be as fast as it was, though. So I guess that's fair.
There's that side of it, too, where they're like, well, we expected it to be smaller, but they should have been planning on bigger, you know?
You can't, though.
I know you can't, but especially money-wise. It's to plan for 6 million people, but sometimes you just have to. But they fixed it pretty fast, too.
Exactly. I think
within a day, they were already like upgrading their servers.
And those kind of things, I'm okay with, but game-breaking bugs,
yeah,
I can't be okay with at all. Like, true. you can't have that, period.
I don't understand why it's so hard to release a finished game anymore.
Oh, seriously,
I don't know if it's just timing's bad or something, like the amount of time you have to work on it. Maybe that could be it, but
I don't know.
Like it's very confusing. Like, if you don't have the money for overtime or something.
Especially if a game's been in production for like 12 years and then still comes out and it's a piece of shit.
I don't know what you're talking about. Skulls and Bones is a fucking masterpiece.
Okay, sure. This is one of my favorite reviews that I saw. Wacky junkyard guitar guy lies on a job application. Then he disrupts production line. Then he assaults employees. Kidnaps the head of security. Murders the higher-ups. Disrupts the concert. Causes family drama. Causes billions of dollars in property damage. Refuses to elaborate further, leaves.
Yep. Kind of. He got a job, didn't he?
Yeah, he ended up getting a job.
So I guess he didn't really leave. But whatever they say.
And then this review. Hey! Hey, hey! Hey, hey, hey! That was fun. But yeah, that's all I got for reviews. All
right, let's move on.
It's story time. Let's get started.
All right, Scott, read us a story.
Okay. So in this game, you play as Chai, a guy with a bad arm that seems to be not in use. Chai dreams of being a rock star, and so he goes to Vanderlei Technologies to get a robot arm. He becomes part of Project Armstrong, a way for Vanderlei to give people robotic limbs. He gains a limb, but due to a mistake by Kale Vanderlei, the current head of the corporation, he gets a music player attached to his chest as well. After gaining the arm and the music player as part of his body, he can hear a beat that seems to reverberate what other people are doing. He can track enemy movements and attacks using the beat. He soon finds himself being hunted as a defect and needs to escape from an island that he is currently on. He meets another person, Peppermint, who is trying to figure out what nefarious deeds the Vanderlei Corporation is up to. She made a robotic cat that helps Chai channel his new powers. She has a contact that told her something is wrong. She helps Chai get away and in return asks him to help her figure out what is happening. He agrees. The two begin taking down department heads. After taking down the first head, Rekka, they take her key and use it to figure out that Vanderlei is trying to control people's minds using the robotic limbs and such that they are giving people. The other department heads learn of Rekka's defeat because of Chai and begin getting ready to take down Chai and Peppermint. Chai and Peppermint go to take down the head of research and development. While doing this, they meet Peppermint's contact, Macaron, and his robotic, and his robot, Cinnamon. After meeting and taking down the head, they proceed to gain the rest of the keys to shut down Spectra, the device that can take over people's minds. They get help from Corsica Next, the head of security. She doesn't like the mind control idea and agrees to stop Kale with the rest of the group. The group then defeats the head of publishing and learn that Peppermint is the daughter of Roxanne Vanderlei, the founder of the company and the sister of Kale. After this, they defeat Finance Head and Kale and stop Spectra. They learn that Kale used Spectra to take over Roxanne's mind so that Kale could become the head of the company. If the game is continued to be played, a bunch of challenges are presented, and you learn that Kale built a backup of Spectra and himself underground, which is unplugged by accident by a cleaning bot. After, Chai writes a note that says, "Do not touch on the plug." That's the ending.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, it is really stupid.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's not worth the end.
No, it's not. Not the amount of challenge it is to do it is just not worth the, like, it's like a small cutscene, and you think you're going to get, like, a final boss battle, and then one of those, like, sweeping bots just kind of runs around and unplugs the thing by accident.
That's so ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny, and, like, you had to do a lot to get up to there, so if there was a final boss battle, I'd be pretty pissed about it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, what it almost sets up is, like, someone's going to go down there and plug it back in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it's like a deal, either a DLC release or a second game.
A sequel, yeah.
Yeah. One or the other.
Fair.
No. You know, story in this game, it's good. I did actually enjoy the story a lot. Yeah, it's really fun. There's a lot of cool things that happen in it. I do wish I got a little bit more background into why Chai's arm didn't work, but I guess it really didn't matter.
Yeah. Same.
Like, everyone seems to have a robotic limb and you have no idea why.
Like, because you can.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and that makes sense because you can, but it almost seems like they all needed them.
Yeah, I didn't know if everyone needed them or if just he needed them and everyone else just wanted one. Because
remember, Peppermint said she lost her leg in an accident, so she had a robotic limb. And then Corsica needed hers because she had she almost died, and that was in front of you.
Yeah.
And then I don't know.
She didn't have one before then, though.
Yeah, she didn't have one before then, so it's not like mandatory to have one to go in. So it makes you wonder if the people who went in, like, got them because they're cool or got them because they have some kind of disfigurement that messed them up.
I'm sure it's probably both.
Yeah, probably honestly. A little bit of both.
Because if they had a company like this today, they would be used for both.
Yeah, but, like, the character Chai, the main character of the game, you get no background on. You have no idea why he's doing what he's doing.
Which
all the characters are in their 20s and 30s, so it's like, you know, there's got to be some kind of more to it, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I will say, I loved how dumb Chai is.
Yeah, he's Goku, guys, I'm telling you.
He's such a dumb, just fun, lovable character. Or Yu Hakusho,
Kurameshi? Character.
No, or yeah, Kurama. Or,
no, Kurama. Kurama was the fox. Kurameshi was the redhead guy.
Yes, yeah. I was gonna say, either him or even the main character from Yu Hakusho.
Yusuke?
Yusuke, yeah, he's pretty just... I mean, he's more angry, though.
Yeah, and Yusuke is not dumb by any means. He's just choosing to be dumb, I guess, where this guy is, like,
he's a dumb luck,
dumb.
Though. Like,
yeah.
He always wins because of a dumb luck thing. Like, he doesn't...
but this guy, like, for sure is, like, just a dummy all throughout, and he doesn't listen, and that was pretty apparent. And a lot of the other characters have, like... They're basically all the same character. They're all sarcastic in their own way, and they all make fun of Chai. Like, and that's pretty much, like, the only different one is probably Macaron, and he's more, like, lovey-dovey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, story was really good, guys. I do wish more background on Chai would have been cool to understand why he's there, like, what's going on. Because you even get more background on another character, Corsica, who's introduced way later in the game.
I don't necessarily need the background, though.
You don't need it, but it would have been cool to have a little bit of it. But maybe that'll be a game two kind of thing. Maybe they saved it. Maybe his mom's like a bitch or something.
But also, like, knowing Chai, it probably just is so, like, basic and average before that point that no one would care, and it'd almost be dull to hear about it.
Yeah. Like, I almost kind of wanted him... I kind of wanted him to walk in with no arm.
Because
it was weird. He had his arm in a sling.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I didn't really tell you what's wrong with his arm. Was it broken? Was it like, was he upset that he'd have to wait 3 months wrong, to use it?
And he didn't want it anymore.
It would be funny if it was like, if it broke and he needed to rest it for 2 weeks. He's like, fuck that. I'm going to go get a robot arm.
I wouldn't put it past China. No, I wouldn't either,
but that would have been funny in the story if they did that.
But yeah, I mean, I love like even like the dumbest shit. Like, even like, yeah, sure. Next time, instead of making you do all these like crazy paths or do these crazy shortcuts, we'll just shoot you through the cannon I to know the that, main that entrance.
Introspective moment where he's like, "I have the plan. I can see it. We'll just shoot you through a fucking cannon. I know what I have to do." It is fun. They did. So it was stupid. A fun game in the story. Like again, I just wish for a little bit more, but I wish that a lot. You know.
Yeah.
But again, I think that'll be like, if they decide to do it, it'll probably either be a DLC or a second game thing.
I guess for me, it's hard to say that I wish there was more story, because like every good game that I've played, I want more of it.
Yeah, true. True.
So I don't want to just be like, I don't want to put that as like a negative towards this game.
Most of the time you get it, but then sometimes you don't, and you're like, God damn it, I do wish there was more in that story.
That's true. Like, if we don't ever get a sequel, yeah. I wish there was more. If there's plans for it.
Remember Mega Man Legends 2?
No.
So Mega Man Legends 2.
I've only played the one Mega Man game we played.
Oh, Mega Man Legends is probably one of the most like... It's one of the most famous ones, especially the second game. And okay. In the second game, they end the entire thing on a cliffhanger. Okay? And they had plans to come out with a third game and then never did.
Oh, that always sucks.
Yeah, and you're just like, I do wish for more.
You bastard.
It's like if Halo 2 would have ended and then Halo 3 would have never come out.
Yeah, I mean, like, I hated that they announced the... Like, I hate when companies are announcing full universes and stuff now, away, before any of the movies come out, like the Dark Universe did, and then the Tom Cruise Mummy came out, and it bombed so hard, they canceled all 5 of the other movies.
Yep.
And I was so hyped for some of those other movies, but I'm like, you bastard. Like, why did you even bring up the other ones?
Why did you even, like, try to make Tom Cruise anything anymore?
Well, I mean,
he's a good actor.
Mission Impossible and
but
stuff.
You're like, competing with Brendan Fraser and his mummy, then that's really fucking hard to do.
Well, yeah. Well, and it wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be like the Dark Universe mummy. Yeah, so like the original Karloff or Kirchhoff or whatever his name was mummy, like the 1932. That with like the Invisible Man, the werewolf, and all that, and Dracula, and all those. But like. And I really love Dark Universe movies, and there's never been, like, a combined universe besides, like, movies like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah. But barely combined. Oh, barely.
Yeah. Yeah. Penny Dreadful is the closest thing you can get to it.
Yeah.
The TV show.
But, yeah, the story was good. I can't remember. There's one thing I really didn't like about it, and I can't remember what it is now. But the one part of the story I was like, the fucking mission to get Corsica. They put way too much into that. That took up 90% of your gameplay time was the fucking Corsica missions.
Well, and even her boss fight was one of the most annoying ones.
Again, a forced parry and dodge fight. Like, just...
Yes.
So stupid.
And just talking and walking in a circle the entire time. Yeah. Like, it's just so slow.
Yeah.
So repetitive.
Yeah. That was, like, the worst part of the story to me is, like, you're in... Corsica just took so long, and I think that really hurt them, because then the rest of the bosses felt way too quick to get to.
True.
So, and I did like that it was quick, because I just was already burnt out from the fucking Corsica mission.
Well, I gotta say, too, like, when you went against the finance guy, Workoff, or
whatever. Oh, yeah, his fucking bot.
God. I was not prepared, because every boss fight in this entire game was just one stage.
Yeah.
To have a 3-stage boss fight.
We'll have the last 2 boss fights go 3-stage.
You do that all the time? Or not at all.
Or once. Or once. Just fucking once. Don't do it twice.
Don't do it. Yes. Oh, that was so frustrating.
I would not at all or once is where I would go with that. But doing it for the last 2 was fucking weird. But I guess they were the strongest, so maybe that's what they were trying to like show.
But they were the strongest, like... I guess throwing a random like guy holding a cane, being a little bit overweight and being a little older and shorter, you're like, oh, he's probably not going to be anything. So then making him a really hard boss fight subverts expectations. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah. Also, it seems it's really funny when all that metal like comes out of him and you're like, how is he hiding all that metal? He became like 5-6 times his actual size. That's crazy. Sorry, yeah, like, maybe 20 or 30 times, actually.
What kind of technology lets you expand the metal size?
Yeah, like seriously, that was crazy.
Yeah. But, and then another boss fight that I almost thought was going to go to a 4th stage, but then the random gold falls on him and he's like,
oh,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of dumb. I was like, it's not that funny. I would have much rather have it to where you defeat him.
I loved, I got to say, my favorite part of the game was the marketing budget person or whatever. The guy that you had to lower all the funds. That guy was one of the most fun levels. Especially because you're going after this basket the entire time.
Yeah.
And I love the moment you go to, you land on the platform after going through this entire level and him keep moving this basket and you make it to it. And you're like, yay, gift basket. And he just gets up and he flicks it.
And then Macaron and you both go, no, the gift basket. And then Peppermint goes, guys.
Seriously, guys? that was the funniest moment in the game, hands down for me. Like, that was so stupid, so amazing. And I found there actually is an achievement. There's an achievement for getting the gift basket, and 0.03% of people have gotten it.
So I wonder if you...
And I'm like, how do you get it?
You probably just run up to it and hit B or something.
I was like, you must have to do it in a certain speed or something, because I was like, I got there. Like, I don't... And I got S's all the way through the entire level of speed-wise, so I'm like, how do you get this then?
I'm guessing you just run up to it and hit B, because that's not something that I thought to do.
I mean, as soon as I landed on the platform, I think that he flicked it away.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a way to, like, cheese it then.
Yeah. Or maybe a way to, like, jump onto it from a different area or something. I don't know.
Maybe. All right. Well, that's mostly about the story that I've got. Do you have anything else?
No. I will say I was kind of laughing when you find out about Peppermint and her family and stuff like that.
I called it all the way through. I'm like, you look just like them, dude. You have fucking, your hair is the same.
So,
your skin tone is the same. Like, you are the only people who look like this.
I kind of figured
right
she
now.
Was going to be really important to the story, but I didn't think family necessarily right away.
Away, I thought family. And then right away, as soon as like you see that thing, I'm like, God damn it. She's going to be up there mind controlled, isn't she? And of course she was. And I was like, ah, fuck. It's so predictable.
I was laughing so hard. I was like, oh, I didn't think that she would be a family member. And Jin's like, they both have white hair. I was like,
yeah, like,
so? I was like, they're the only people
again,
who can have white
their
hair.
Their skin tone was like identical, whereas everyone else's skin tones were different.
Still.
So I just figured that. But then again, I also predicted the mom was going to be mind controlled. And I was like, okay, this is fine.
Dude, seriously, turning your mom into a zombie to take over her business and to try to take over everyone's minds.
Yeah. I think it would have been cooler and darker
wild.
For the mom to be evil.
I don't think that. I thought about that. Like,
yeah, I thought
at first
I
almost
like,
thought that.
I was,
but
like,
I was
like,
oh,
please
know.
Let this be the truth. Let her be the evil one. And I'm like, nope, it's mind control.
Oh, the best, like, most amazing, like, somber kind of, like, just touching moment is the moment where he breaks that force field with his.
Yeah,
just the beat in his hand. That was such a cool moment. That
yeah,
was
there's
one
a
of
moment in the game,
too.
Guys, where you're stuck in a force field and you have to think of all the good things people say about you, and that's where Cinnamon says, like, I like your pants.
Like your pants.
That's the only thing he could remember Cinnamon saying, because he's just a robot with no emotion. Cinnamon was a fun character, too, because he would paint emotion on his face.
I loved that.
He would draw it with, like, a Sharpie and then erase it.
And you get to play Cinnamon.
Yeah, you do get to play Cinnamon. You get to play as other people sometimes, but very shortly.
Very, very.
You get to play as the cat that kind of helps you out. So
yes, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just move on.
Worth or not?
All right. What are you rating the game?
I'll give it a worth. I think this game is fun enough for you to get through and have a good time. Yeah. The parry is not so bad that you can't do it. I wish they didn't have it, but that doesn't mean it's unplayable because of that. There were some cool things in this game. The character design is amazing. The music is really good. The story is actually pretty good. So if you can get past that Corsica part of the game, you're going to like this game a lot.
I agree with that. I definitely think this game is worth it, especially if you've ever thought about getting into a rhythm-based game, but you... Like, this is
scared,
the
little bitch.
Yeah, sure. Like, I can keep rhythm normally, but keeping rhythm while playing a game, that's where it gets hard for me. Like, trying to think of combos while also trying to think of keeping it to a beat is where I struggle. And this was fun. Like, I gotta say, like, I really enjoyed the combat of this. Like, I love the visuals and animation. The story is fun. Like, I definitely think it's worth it. And it's only a $30 game, and it's free on Game Pass. Definitely worth the price tag, because you're gonna get probably 10 to 20 hours out of this.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, the game itself, there's nothing really, like, monstrously bad about it, right? There's nothing that we can pinpoint to say this is terrible. Like, yes, we don't like parrying, but at the end of the day, like, it's still fine. And if you're weird about the beats, again, they have a really helpful little metronome that does, like, do wonders to help you out, get your beat just right. And eventually, if you want to turn it back off, you can. Like, on and off is really easy with the metronome, and that was nice.
Well, so, yeah, they have that feature. They have the difficulty that you can lower to make it more forgiving for beat forgiveness and stuff. They also have chips that you can upgrade in the game that make your parry windows bigger and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So there's three different aspects that can give you bigger and better and easier windows to hit the beats on time. Like, there is a lot of ways to make this as easy as it can be for you. And that's why I think this is a good, like, start to if you ever wanted to get into rhythm-based games.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That was it. That was Hi-Fi Rush.
Woohoo!
Hope you guys had fun with that one.
Yeah, we did.
All right, so next week's game is...
Heavy Rain.
Yeah, I was going to say, mentioned it.
Yes. Well, I'm already playing the next one, so I was like...
Well, you bet you just mentioned it.
I know.
Okay, we got Heavy Rain coming up next. Stay tuned for that. And remember, guys, seriously, check us out on soulofagamer.com to request games. Yes. Do it through Spotify. Email us if you have anything you want to ask, or if you think we should start playing Avatar D&D live stream.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. All right, guys. I guess we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you, bitch.
Well, that's weird.